This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It is indeed a great honor and a real pleasure. I've really been looking forward to talking to him. Michael Gleason joins me on the program. For those of you who've been around for a while, you might remember his name. You might, of course, definitely remember the last name. That's an old Charlottesville name. And Mike is the former, among many things he has done in his life, he's the former news director right here at WINA. And Mike, that was back in the mid-60s, right?
That's correct, Coy. 1965, 1966, and 1967 and 68.
Yeah, wow. But let me ask you, before we talk about your years covering student unrest at the University of Virginia during the Vietnam War, and let me ask you, we learned this week that Elizabeth Taylor has passed away, and it turns out that you not only met her, you actually had an opportunity to spend some time with her more than once at her home, right?
Exactly. I had, after the days of the bicentennial in Charlottesville, which was back in the 70s, I had had a great deal of time to work with John Warner, who later became senator. He was head of the National Bicentennial, and I had even toyed with an offer he made for me to go to Washington and work with him in the bicentennial. But Charlottesville was all excited because we were planning the visit of Queen Elizabeth of Great Britain to come over, and I decided to stay in Charlottesville and work on the Queen's visit. And as soon as the bicentennial was over and Warner was finished with the National Bicentennial, he hired me to do some work for him, some public relations work, advance work for him in the state. And the great assignment that I had was to work in Charlottesville, but every Friday I drove to Washington, to Georgetown, to meet him at his house in Georgetown. And this was the time when he was married to Elizabeth Taylor, and I don't know if you know John Warner, but he's perpetually late for appointments. And but it never bothered me in the least, because I would get to the house on S Street in Georgetown. He would be tied up somewhere in politics, and I would get a chance every Friday to sit and talk in the kitchen over coffee with Elizabeth Taylor.
We're talking with Michael Gleason, a Charlottesville native, a real blast from the past, the former news director at WINA back in the mid-60s, also was a reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress in the late 60s, and was the director of the City-County Commission for the American Bicentennial Observance here in Central Virginia. So what was she like?
Well, she was one of the nicest, warmest individuals I've ever met. She was very easygoing and very comfortable to talk with. I can't describe what it's like for an icon to be sitting in a room with an icon like Elizabeth Taylor, but she was very casual. She wore blue jeans and a top, and she had those beautiful eyes, and it was very hard to concentrate. Let me tell you, she was just, we would talk about just about any subject in the world. We would have so much fun talking about matters that were not related necessarily to Hollywood or to motion pictures, but just everyday life. It was just unbelievable.
We're talking with Michael Gleason. Michael, remind us now the relationship between your last name and the Charlottesville Gleasons. There was a Gleason hardware store, right?
There was a Gleason hardware store. There was H.M. Gleason's. There was a J. Emmett Gleason, who was the mayor, ran a grocery store on Main Street. And a Michael Gleason built the Gleason's Hotel, which was up on West Main, right near the Southern Railway Station. My connection is that my mother and my grandparents on my mother's side, the Elliots, were Charlottesville natives. My father was from Nelson County, and that's where all the Gleasons came from. The original Michael O. Gleason came came up and settled on the James River in Nelson County. And a lot of the Gleason families moved to Charlottesville because it was obviously a bigger business center. My father stayed in Nelson County and then ended up going to Roanoke to work. And but he and my mother met. They were married in Charlottesville. And then my father went to Roanoke to go to work. And I was born in Roanoke, but my mother and father split up when I was 2 or 3 years old, and I ended up coming back to Charlottesville long before I remember any other place, and was reared by my grandparents and my mother in downtown Charlottesville.
We're talking with Michael Gleason. Mike, what are your memories of covering some of the student protests at the University of Virginia back in the 60s when you were with WINA News and also with the Daily Progress?
Well, you may know this, but back in those days, news reporters were not paid very much, and so it was always we were always looking for national stories. And of course, the student unrest that occurred at UVA the first time, which I guess was maybe 1966 or 67. The students marched on Cars Hill and up and down the lawn, and there was a lot of rough stuff going on. And I had a chance to go up with my microphone and tape a lot of it. But the best thing of the whole project for me was I got a call from CBS News, national network, who wanted a feed. And as I remember, it was a few years ago, but as I remember, we were paid $50 to give a one-minute feed, and that was probably the biggest thing that ever happened to me that year was the fact that I got an extra $50 check, and it probably wasn't much more than what our weekly salary was.
Yeah. We're talking with Michael Gleason of Charlottesville, formerly the WINA news director back in the 1960s, and also, folks may not know, Mike, you were the very first television news reporter in Central Virginia. Tell us about that.
Well, let's see. I went to work for Sarge Reynolds, who was running for lieutenant governor in Richmond, and in those days they didn't have a staff for lieutenant governors, and so when the campaign was over, Sarge told me to come back home to Charlottesville and get a job, and we would plan his run for the governorship. And so I came back to Charlottesville, and I've worked in the Charlottesville Albemarle merger campaign, which was not very successful. But as soon as the merger campaign was over, I think it was in 1971, Bob Monroe started Jefferson Cable Television, and it was one of the largest in the nation. I think it was the second largest 12-channel cable facility in the nation. And as you may know, there was a congressional bill that required cable facilities to, big ones at least, to start providing local origination communications for the community. And so Bob hired me to come in and help set up the news operation and the studio operation so that we could go on the air. And we did. In early 1971, we went on the air. And so I was a news anchor. We had regular daily newscasts. And but before I get too far afield about how great it was, you have to remember it started in black and white, and it was primitive, to say the least. We didn't have the most grandiose equipment, and I can remember it now that we were in right next door to the Trailways bus station on Main Street, and there was a train that went by maybe like every half hour. And when the train went by right behind our building, the entire building shook. And so you can imagine what that did for sound that we had in these studios with black and white cameras. But yes, I did get to go on the air that spring, and it was before any of the commercial stations had started in Charlottesville. I think the first one was WVIR, but I'm not sure calling myself the first television newscaster in Charlottesville. That and a dollar will get me a cup of coffee at McDonald's. You know?
We are talking with Michael Gleason. Now, before we let you go, I want to hear about the bicentennial celebration in Charlottesville in 1976. You led that whole thing for the city and the county, right?
Well, I was chairman of the commission, but as we began to make strides to make it a state center, that was the impetus of much of our operation, was that there was a state center in Yorktown, and there a contingency from Alexandria came up with a plan to have a center in Alexandria. And so our commission and I went together and lobbied the General Assembly to create a center in Charlottesville, and that was what our thrust was. And it was at that time that I had, working at Jefferson Cable, had met the new, brand-new city manager, Cole Hendricks, had come in 1971 and had been interviewing him. And also his assistant was a guy by the name of Bern Ewart, who I think is probably back in Charlottesville just as Cole is. But in getting to know, first of all, getting to know Bern, our families got together, and I was able to tell Bern, who was from Kansas, that about all this history that was here in Virginia. And it was through my talking to him and his, then he going to Cole Hendricks and convincing him that we really needed the state center here, they ended up making me a department head and working in the city government to achieve that. So there again, I had the great distinction of being, I think, the youngest department head in city government history. And there were quite a few of us, Bern included, who were still in their 20s, if I'm not mistaken. And we caught a lot of grief from the community because Cole had hired a lot of these young Turks to come in and start doing some of the work that had previously been done by some of the older folks. But it was a wonderful, wonderful time, and we ended up planning the visit of Queen Elizabeth, who came, and we built the Visitor's Center. We produced a film, a documentary film on Thomas Jefferson, And as I said, that was a time that I ended up meeting John Warner. So it was a wonderful period of time. And Charlottesville is my hometown. It's also the greatest city in the world. And it deserved to have a commemoration like we had.
And you know, I should add, we're talking with Michael Gleason, former news director at WINA back in the 1960s. I should add, though, that you are pretty spoiled. You get to live where you live on Gwynn's Island, which is one of my favorite places in Virginia. It's absolutely beautiful.
And you've been here.
I have. Oh, yeah.
It's for you.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Sitting here about 15 yards from the bay, and all the flowers are in bloom on Gwynn's Island. And you can tell I've got allergies from all the daffodils that are coming up.
We all do right now, Mike. Michael Gleason, we'll look forward to talking to you again. We're going to have to do this again because I know you have so many stories to tell about your memories in Charlottesville. It's a great thrill to have you on the program. Thanks so much for making time for
us. Thank you for having me, Goy.
That's Michael Gleason. He was the news director at WINA back in the mid-1960s, also wrote for The Progress, and was the first TV news reporter here in Charlottesville.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.